Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This is how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Wolves won at Man City, Brighton thrash Spurs, and the fog on the Tyne is all Matty Longstaff's. Well, 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 here we are again, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
I nearly didn't turn up today because I overdid it at the live shows.
Doing six.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you get into it, but I mean, yeah.
It was only a matter of time.
I was texting. That beautiful feeling when you give the last, the stomach does the last bit of... and something in your brain, some kind of chemical floods your brain, you just feel amazing.
It's over.
It's over for now.
Yeah.
And then 4 hours later, you're up again doing the same.
Because
I will insist on eating KFC and fish and chips when I'm in Brighton.
Together?
Absolutely.
No,
yeah.
Not together.
Some sort of
madness.
Weird tapas blend.
I mean, you shouldn't be going into a place called Cheeky Chicken. I mean, they have signposted it for you.
Yeah, I was feeling quite cheeky at first.
You underestimated just how cheeky it was.
They did just give me the bottle of burger sauce so I could just put it on my chips. And I overdid that, to be honest. I didn't hurt myself with it.
I'll call it an unorthodox start to a football show.
Indeed, yes. But thank you very much, Brighton. We had a lovely time.
Yeah.
So did they against Spurs, but we'll get into that in a short while. Wolverhampton Wanderers.
They're the headliners, aren't they?
I didn't see that one coming. I'll be perfectly honest with you. An underwhelming start to the season, especially in the Premier League. They've been going well in the Europa. But Wolves have now won three in a row. They beat Watford, of course. They won 1-0 away in Besiktas in the Europa prior to this one. And it was a much-needed win because it's only their second league win in 8 matches this season. We were wondering when Wolves would come to life. We didn't think that they would sort of struggle so much after their impressive season last year and the players they have. And the way they started the game, I mean, it should have been a goal, at least a goal to the good before half-time.
Yeah, this is a team who have got a fairly solid track record against the top sides. Mm. I mean, they clearly like a day out. They like a big occasion. You look at the pedigree of the players they've signed. These are players who, you know, for the most part, I mean, I know there are exceptions to this, but who have played at big clubs, have come through at big academies and played international football and all the rest of it. And if you look at some of the results they've had in the past, I mean, they've picked up wins against Chelsea before, they've picked up a win against Man United, they've picked up creditable draws against top six teams. And when it clicks for them, they seem, they're a pretty good team. You know, I mean, we've forgotten about that maybe a little bit because of their, as you said, their kind of pedestrian start to the season. But that those two goals Traore scored, almost like carbon copy.
Yeah.
And the second one particularly was clearly because Man City were pushing and pushing. And I wonder whether, if you put them under pressure, which of course is easier said than done, and you've got perhaps an unfamiliar player playing at centre-back, for example, alongside a guy who sometimes makes bad decisions at centre-back, i.e. Otamendi in that. Was it the first goal or the second goal where he sort of dived in when he didn't need to? One of them anyway. You might better get a bit of joy. But away from home against Man City, it's a massive, massive result.
Santo's got a pretty good record against Guardiola.
Yeah, he
does. And I think it's funny, isn't it? Because they weren't scared of them. They highlighted that centre-back pairing of Fernandinho and Otamendi. And they went for them. And as I say, Cutrone had a chance. Jimenez found himself in some...
That Cutrone lovely... finish was bizarre, though.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where he's if you get the angle... If you're going to go for a fancy finish... If you get the angle just like 1 or 2 degrees wrong, it does...
Yeah. You see what he's trying to do? Open his body up and bend it in the far corner.
Yeah.
But like you say, you get it slightly wrong. I mean, it's hard to think of how he could have put that further wide given the shape of his body. But you know, we said this at the start of the season with Man City. It's being overlooked. It's being way too overlooked. At centre-back, they've got a problem. And lo and behold, they have a real bad problem now because Laporte's out for a while. We knew it was only a matter of time before Fernandinho was going to drop in there. I'm not convinced by Otamendi. I'm certainly not convinced by Otamendi in 2019. 31 now, not an improving player. They've got, I mean, it's early to say, but they've got problems at centre-back.
It's funny, isn't it? With I don't know the ins and outs why Harry Maguire went to Man United, because he could have got more for City. My goodness, he'd be their best centre-half, you'd probably say. Yeah.
At the moment, he would be, for sure. He would have been the best centre-half in this game.
A lot of Man City fans are very much upset that company's left, because he gives a bit of steel in that kind of area.
Isn't it great, though? Isn't it great, from a Wolves fan point of view, when you've got a player like Adama Traore, who I know is a bit inconsistent, but is a flying machine. Yeah. And it's so exciting, even in all the modern trappings of football, just to see a player who is an absolute flying machine. But that's great to watch.
But also with that size as well, it's quite a rare thing that you see a player that big and that strong that is also as quick as that and as mobile as that.
For the second goal, it's amazing, because there's a defender, I forget who it is, trying to catch up with him, trying to track back. And he doesn't even really look like he's got the afterburners on. And he still just glides away from him with the ball at his feet as well.
Jimenez's passes were flipping amazing.
The footwork for the first goal.
Huge.
He's a brilliant forward, Jimenez. And
I couldn't figure out how he got the ball, like kept the ball.
I know, right? It's one of those things where I've watched it back a few times. It's like, just going to have to put that down to some sort of spell.
Well, he's such a crucial player for Wolves, Jimenez, at times, because he brings other players in. He's got goals in him. Maybe he would want to have 1 or 2 more goals, but he's certainly got goals in him.
He's in my fantasy league team. I'd like a few more, thank you.
Well, this is sort of a plea on your behalf.
He's got 2 assists, though. You get points for that.
Well, that's what I mean. He brings other players into play so well. And if you're trying to play like a unit, which you have to away at Manchester City in particular.
Traore is a unit on his own.
Exactly. But it was marvellous. With Traore as well, I mean, we know he's got pace, but Wolves, you know, they were away in Turkey on the Thursday night.
Yeah.
They you could tell that after trying to push for that early goal and think, right, let's go at them, they didn't get the goal. And you often, the old adage, you've got to score when you're on top, especially against Man City. Then Man City came back, Silva hit the bar, and of course, if that free kick goes in, it's a different story. But City were coming forward, but Wolves, the game management was very good, and they thought, right, let's just play a bit deeper now. Mm. And with that pace, they started to tire slightly, but that's fair enough, I think. But Traore still had a little bit left in the tank. It certainly became evident. And the way they broke for those goals was phenomenal. And his finish for the first one was great. And he's been criticised for perhaps the decision-making in the final third and showing a little bit of class and quality. Well, he certainly showed that with the first. And what I loved about them for the second, it was almost as if he thought, oh, I know how to do this. I'll just do exactly the same thing again. Yeah, and it was very effective.
And you know what it's like when, I mean, playing football, even at our level, you can be really tired towards the end of the game. But if the ball gets to your feet and you've got a chance of a goal, you just forget about that instantly. Absolutely. So he was obviously able to do that. But the Wolves are a good team. There's no question about that. And they keep adding players and it's almost in a sense, because of the ambitions they've got and the plan they've got for their club, they're still in a bit of transition because they're adding players and they're trying to establish themselves in the Premier League. They've got this Europa League thing happening now, but they are very, very capable. And I thought from what I saw for the first half particularly, yes, Man City had a lot of the ball, but Wolves didn't really look in an awful lot of trouble.
Yeah. Well, Man City has 76% possession, which is incredible. Yeah. If you think
just get ahead, hit them on the break and then just sit deep, which is exactly what they did. And then you've always got that outlet for an absolute lightning fast player. I am worried for Crystal Palace, which is Man City's next match. Because historically, every time they've been beaten, they've come out. And yes.
Where is it?
Teams.
Is it it's in
at,
London?
Crystal Palace, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because obviously Palace beat them there last year with that wonderful Andros Townsend goal.
Only counts for one, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, they only needed to. well, they are a fair few points off Liverpool, of course, Manchester City already, because Liverpool squeezed past Leicester City 2-1. I think I said that I fancied it to be a draw, and oh, I was so close. But ultimately, I was wrong, Jim.
You were,
of course, not for the first time.
And is it a shame?
But that I was wrong.
No, that it wasn't a draw, because are we seeing a one horse race open up?
Well, it's early days, I think. I mean, Guardiola said he's not thinking about all that kind of stuff. I'm not thinking about Liverpool. Are you thinking about Liverpool? I'm not thinking about Liverpool.
Liverpool have the capacity to drop points, especially later in the season.
Well, we'll see. I mean, there is a sort of a steely determination from Liverpool. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the exciting thing for Liverpool fans, is that actually after last season, you think, oh, mate, it went so close. But actually winning the European Champions League straight after is such an enormous pick-me-up.
Absolutely. And we've seen this happen to Liverpool before, where they've come close, finished second, and it's been tough for them. And mentally, they've struggled the next season. But that has not been the case at all. They have carried that determination through so much. And their mental strength looks so, so strong. You can see it from the outside.
Well, that is enormous credit to the manager, of course. But that's it, though. You know, when you sort of think, oh, we were 1 point. I mean, how... a near as perfect season as you can, but hang on a minute, we're still champions, we're European champions, you know, and that will that feeling surrounds the club, and going into this season they've been absolutely superb, of course. Yeah, okay, against Leicester I would argue they had a bit of luck, but I mean, you need a bit of luck over the course of the season, and even if they'd have drawn the game, they still have a healthy lead already.
Yeah, I think Leicester only had one shot on target anyway.
Yeah,
though, but I mean, Liverpool were. I completely agree with what you're saying, and I'll go further and say for them to continue to lift themselves after that disappointment in domestically last season in a trophy that Liverpool have been desperate to win for lots of reasons for a very long time, to hit the ground running to the extent they have this season has been brilliant. But they had a word of caution is just they had quite a big lead around Christmas last year, and obviously it wasn't enough. So that'll be on their minds a little bit, and Klopp will have to do his best to keep them... To keep him going.
Mane dived. I'll say it now.
Yeah. That was literally about to be my next point. I was going to ask you guys what you think, but you've already answered
well,
it.
Well, there was a slight bit of contact, and this is the tricky thing, that had he have gone down when that contact was made, that
it
old thing...
would have been clearer, yeah.
Well, exactly. That whole thing of and sometimes you have to go down almost to flag to the referee, look, I have been fouled, and it's put me off there.
And the way that Albrighton pulls his foot out,
yes,
I think that was a bigger tell than anything else, you know, that they had been contacting. He was like, oh, shit, I need to get my foot out of the way.
But the thing is, though, when you watch the footage, there's clearly phase one and phase two of contact made, and Mane goes, right, well, that's done. Right, let's move. No, I think I'd like to go back a phase, and then he goes
But did
down.
He did he impede him?
I for me, that's not a penalty.
Okay.
Not a penalty.
So what do you think about the VAR kind of process then in that situation? You think it's not obvious enough for it to be overturned, so they let it go?
Yeah, I suppose so.
It's a threshold tie because they don't want to undermine the referee.
Yeah, maybe the benefit of the doubt there. Right, you know, yeah. I think so. Yeah. I can understand.
It's so muddy, isn't it?
Yeah, no. Yeah. But this is the
thing.
There's
so much to think about these days. Yeah. It used to be quite a simple game, didn't it?
Yeah. I don't think it was an absolute howl or anything. You know, it wasn't shocking. But for me, I think, you know, having seen it, that, you know, having.
Well, you're talking about first one or first two. Let's get VAR on the VAR. Come on.
An independent judicator.
He'll have a little camera in the VAR truck watching what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right. He was having a drink while he was watching that. Yeah. Would that have put him off? But, you know, Liverpool, they got through it.
I was enjoying Perez chipping off, getting very, very punchy.
Yeah,
Andy seen him do that ever.
Andy Robertson just gave him a little, just gave him a little something.
Yeah. Is it a club he cares about now?
Yeah. Club with some heart.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, I mean, under Brendan Rodgers, you're trying to get everyone going with all the state of things at Newcastle. Yeah, he probably was a bit disillusioned with Ashley and all that nonsense.
I imagine the Leicester fans feel a little disillusioned with Perez right now. Yeah, well, maybe he's not had a great start to his career.
Will Brendan stick his rent up, do you think?
Well, he could do.
Should do, I think.
Very petty, yeah, £1,000 extra a month.
Sorry, again, the economy's getting tougher. You know, it's harder these days. I'm going to put the rent up, I'm afraid.
he'll have to go for cheap teeth.
Yeah, imagine if Rodgers called Klopp today. Jürgen, it's Brendan. All right, yeah. Congratulations on the win.
Yeah.
Well done and all that.
Let's talk deposits.
A bit of admin. I'll be doing an inspection tomorrow, giving you the requisite 24 hours notice. Yeah, and then maybe changes to the rent.
Okay. Inspectors will be around about 3 in the morning. Just keep you on your toes. Yeah. Anytime between 3 in the morning and 2 in the morning the next day.
What do you mean you're at the dentist?
I imagine that house is very, very white and it looks like marble, but it's actually just enamel, just everywhere.
Yeah.
Enamel.
What drew Klopp to it.
My enamel house.
In the fruit bowl on the coffee table, it's just all dental floss packets.
Yeah. Klopp was very unhappy with Choudhury's foul on Salah.
Mm. Yeah, you can understand, man, he wanted to protect his players and stuff.
I didn't think he went out to hurt him. I think he was probably not fussy. I think
it's quite robust, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he went to get the ball and he thought, well, if I don't get the ball, then, you know, who cares?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it falls into the bracket of excessive force.
Well, I think Klopp went a bit over the top, and I think it was it Shearer or Murphy on Match of the Day suggested that he's maybe trying to deflect slightly from the penalty and talk a bit about that. I mean, there we are. But, I mean, Leicester with another nearly result against one of the big boys.
Well, Alexander-Arnold stamped on a player earlier in the first half. I think he could have gone for that. Yeah. So that could have been a completely different situation.
Very
bearing in mind it was such a small margin in the first place.
Very true. But yeah, Leicester, I mean, again,
they've only lost 2 games this season.
They have only lost 2 games this season. But you look at some of the results against the biggest
sides. They should have, listen, there's no way, you said it on Thursday, there's no way they should have been beaten at Old Trafford.
No. And with that last gasp Liverpool goal, it was a little bit of a calamity of errors from the Leicester backline. Yeah. They should have got a point. They should have got a point.
To me, it felt a bit like fatigue, tiredness. Yeah. So you end up losing your concentration and the rest of it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And again, after the international break.
But they've got a couple of weeks off now. They'll be good as gold, Leicester. I think they should still be gunning for third place based on what's going on around the Premier League.
Mm. They should, but these are the results that Rodgers will be thinking, there's sort of a little glass ceiling there and he wants to punch through.
Well, you'd be like looking at like the sort of people, I mean, I think when West Ham and Palace played, like they were gunning for third place then, weren't they?
Yeah.
It's like, we shouldn't be in and around third
Palace
place.
Palace have had a great start
against
Palace,
best London team. Ham.
You'd say, wouldn't you?
Best London team.
Really?
They're out in the Premier League, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. That's what the league's for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe give them the league table. Chelsea and Arsenal are in
third. Oh, no, Arsenal are third, sorry. Sorry, for some reason I thought...
I think you're talking about the London team you've enjoyed the most this season.
No, I just made a mistake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're below Arsenal and Chelsea. I think at one point this weekend they were above both those teams. Though.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair,
Arsenal and Chelsea played later.
We're all very, if I can let everyone in, it's a little peek behind the curtain, we're all very, very tired today. Obviously, we had to watch that Man United performance.
Yeah. What about that Brighton performance?
Oh, wonderful.
My goodness, another 3-0 win in the Prem for Brighton this season. I thought the first day of the season was a bit of an anomaly.
Yeah.
Clearly not. Sorry, Brighton fans. Aaron Connolly had a great game. First Prem start. Lovely old job.
He looks intense and a very serious young man. Yeah.
He looks really old.
He does, yeah.
He's got a full beard.
I can't believe he's 19.
He's 19,
he?
Yeah.
Oh, fair play.
I found this...
That second goal in particular, what a finish.
Yeah, it's lovely. I found this game absolutely bizarre. Mm. Yeah. Just how bad Spurs were. Now, I know that Lloris got injured and it's probably going to be a serious one. I think he's dislocated his elbow, which means he'll be out for some time.
It looked really nasty, didn't it?
It did, and he was in a lot of pain and you could see that affected the players. So you give him a bit of leeway for that. But if they hadn't been hammered on Tuesday and they hadn't been in such terrible form, I was just, the lack of intensity for me. I mean, there's a few things. One is the some of the decisions that Pochettino made tactically in terms of team selection, I thought were strange, very strange. Secondly, the lack of intensity from those players was, to me, almost unforgivable. I mean, it's getting into a pattern now, a routine now, where if it doesn't go your way, you just wrap your hand in.
For
and let's get this absolutely right, because I think this is really important, because it pertains to how modern football is these days. A lot of those players owe Pochettino their fucking career. They were nobodies before he came along. And the fact that he's revolutionised that club, as we've talked about over and over again, and what he's done, I think he's well within his rights to expect a bit more from those players. You lose a game, that's fine. You go away in the Premier League, you can lose against anyone. We all know that. But to lose like that, and to lose like I did on Tuesday, you saw him after the game. He looked a little bit, I wouldn't say confused, because that's strong, but he looked like a bit surprised as to what had happened.
But that kind of feeds into the point that some of the papers are going with you know, is Pochettino, is he done? Is his head turned? Is he already thinking, you know what, I think I've taken this team as far as I can, and you talk about the Man United job, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, goodness knows what you'd have to do there to get those players going. But if indeed he has dropped his intensity slightly and he is a little bit tired and fatigued, and he, if he is, you know, that can happen to a manager. If you think about like Klopp's last season at Dortmund, you know what I mean? You know, there's these examples of managers who have had a brilliant, brilliant time at a club and, as you say, revolutionised it in some respects and got them to highs that perhaps they haven't experienced for many years. If his intensity and you know, his energy levels have dropped a little bit, that could filter down to the rest of the side. Now, it doesn't. It's no excuse.
I think it comes from the players.
No, really. I think Luke's right. Like,
okay.
I always think about when teams like just slide like this, and there just seems to be a lack of intensity, a lack of intent.
Yeah.
It's the dynamic on the team bus afterwards for me. Like, you know, obviously the manager's probably sat up front, and he's just turned around going, sorry, what the fuck was that? Like, that was no kind of performance. You didn't show anything. You didn't show any interest.
I don't think he's helped himself, and I don't think he's blameless.
Yeah, right.
But I think some of the selections he made were strange. I mean, you hear about Kyle Walker-Peters, not even in the squad. Sissoko and Ndombele, who looked absolutely gassed against Bayern Munich, and you can understand why. They got pulled all over the place. 5 minutes into the second half, I mean, Marcus, you were there as well. You saw how gassed they were.
Yeah.
He plays Sissoko at right back against Dan Byrne and Aaron Moy on the left of Brighton. Dan Byrne isn't a left back, he's a centre back. And Aaron Moy likes to tuck inside. You could have the freedom of the Amex if you played a good quality, like proper right back there.
Yeah, because Moy and Gross, I think, were the two kind of wide men. You don't think of them as
they
wide
played narrow. Men. They played narrow. So
but they knew they could.
Exactly.
And they got a lot of the ball.
And then you look at, I mean, Sissoko's game, it always run for you, it always worked really hard. But I think he looked gassed. I think Ndombele isn't fully fit. Put Dier in there for his first start in months and months in that situation.
Do you think that is because he needs to show Harry Winks that his performance against Bayern wasn't good enough, so he's got to put that pressure on him for keeping his place?
He was bad, Jim, but he wasn't the worst player against Bayern Munich. He was bad. It was probably the worst I've seen him play. He wasn't great, but I don't think it was so bad that he should be punished.
But do you think
playing half fit players ahead of him?
Yeah, well, I mean, surely there is an element of rotation, though, just because Bayern was so bad that he needs to, you know, gee these players up and remind them that they've got to fight for their places.
Yeah, but I've just said he's not rotated Sissoko and Ndombele, both completely knackered.
No, but I'm saying that he's doing that to some degree. Obviously, for whatever reasons, he's picking Ndombele and Sissoko might be tactical with Brighton in mind, but surely some rotation is a result of what happened at Bayern.
The other thing we have to bear in mind is that he's not been backed. So, I mean, if he's got three players there, to my knowledge, in Alderweireld, Vertonghen and Eriksen, for different reasons, are going to be out of contract and probably aren't going to stay. Yet he's got to pick his team around them. They both play. Sanchez, I don't know why he didn't play Davinson Sanchez, possibly because he's had a bit of a poor start of the season, or maybe he's not fully fit, I don't know. Eriksen, when he doesn't look like doesn't want to be there, which is every other week, it's. I mean, the only game runners in the front six, really, were Lamella, Kane and Son. And you can't carry three midfield players in the Premier League game, especially not away from home, when confidence is low.
He clearly wanted a clear out and he didn't get it, because obviously at that club you have to get rid to spend any money. He didn't get his clear out. It just took too long, the you know, what leaves like with brinkmanship when it comes to financial matters. So it's not a happy camp there, is it?
But I thought Brighton were excellent. I thought they were snapped into tackles. They were very intense. They could have won by more. Great stuff to see both their starting forwards score. Mopai needs goals because he's obviously come for a lot of money from a lower league and obviously got his goal very early. It's great for a team when a young player comes through the ranks and scores goals. Particularly one of those goals was fantastic.
Yeah.
So lots to be positive about. They've had injuries themselves.
They have. You've got to give Brighton an enormous amount of credit because Spurs, you can say, well, they're there for the taking. Which, as I always say, you've still got to take them. And Spurs are a superior side to Brighton, lest we forget. Brighton, I think, had only scored 5 goals in 7 games before that one. And, you know, they're 14th with 9 points. It was a very much a welcome win for Brighton.
Yeah.
And all credit to them. They
took the initiative, didn't
exactly.
they? And they weren't scared of Tottenham, which would have been very easy for them to be, even at home. And also, I suppose perhaps Spurs' lack of press allowed Brighton to maybe go, you know what, you know, this is there for the taking. If as long as we're competitive, we can get something here. And then obviously, you know, it was a lot easier than they might have managed.
Absolutely.
Well, imagine
defensively,
rather.
Brighton looked pretty solid. It didn't look like conceding.
They did lose a keeper fairly early on in this match. Yeah. And obviously he was in agony. They had to give him...
But another error.
I got lithium in my head. Yeah. No, it did not give him lithium. Let's be that very clear.
We already said that. I mean,
it was another error from Lloris.
It was.
You know, that's the thing. It wasn't like he got injured and then he dropped the ball. It was another error. I mean,
like hearing your goalkeeper going down the tunnel screaming in pain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to rattle you a little bit.
I don't think that would affect it. That affected
you. We said at the start of this, it's obviously not ideal, but I don't think you can use that as an excuse to not get on with it. I mean, they've got Watford at home next. If they don't put performance against them, and then they've got Red Star at home. If they don't win that, they're looking at a maximum.
Mind you, if
they get a draw, they have 2 points in their Champions League group after 3 games.
I mean, Watford, if you're Sanchez Flores, now Watford should have probably beaten Sheffield United. It was good to see the young lad Henderson in goal actually have a great game for Sheffield United, bounce back after that error against Liverpool.
Right.
And he really won his team a point there because Watford probably should have won the game. So Watford are now on the up slightly. Relatively speaking, well, they're going to think, right, lads, actually, Spurs away is not the game it was last season.
No, and that's it's similar to them going into this Brighton game away from home after this Bayern Munich game. You look at it and you think, okay, Brighton aren't very good, let's be fair. They were brilliant this weekend, but generally speaking, they've not shown enough this season. They've won one game before this in the Premier League and they've had some awful results. When they lost 2-0 at home to Southampton, they stunk the place out against Newcastle. They lost at home to Aston Villa, a promoted team. If you're Spurs, you're thinking, right, get away from the home stadium, which can be difficult because it's full of people. They've got a lot of anticipation because they're in there for the first time. And the last time you were there, you got absolutely whooped. So get yourself out away from home against a poor team and see what you've got. They didn't have anything. No, they didn't have anything at all.
It's a damning result. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody.
Yes, welcome back indeed. Which plug shall I do first? RambleLive.com. There's still tickets available. We are in Bournemouth on Thursday, and then we're in Shepherd's Bush on Friday. If you want to come and see us in London on this tour, that's your final chance to do so. And I'm not entirely sure exactly how many tickets are left. I'm going to say
five,
under 10, I think. So get yourself in there. And Bournemouth on Thursday will be a lovely time as well. And there's some other dates between now and the middle of November. Betway four to score this week. GM West Ham v Crystal Palace, Felipe Anderson, that was a no. Pete Callum-Wilson, Bournemouth against Arsenal at the Emirates, that was a no. Not the Emirates, sorry. Yeah, the Emirates. What was I talking about? I had Danny Ings against Chelsea. He did score, didn't he? But not first, so that's a no. And Marcus, you had Marcus Rashford, because it's always nice to have a Marcus in there. That was a no. Six players on the betway.com/4to-score were still in the hat going into the final game. But unsurprisingly, no one had young Matty Longstaff. And so we roll over. We go again. It's £150,000 jackpot next week. It's free to play. Just pick your first scorer in each of the four selected games to win up to £150,000 at betway.com/4to-score. Bet responsibly, begambleaware.org.
There we are. Now it's time for emails with that man, PTD.
Oh, we need a little jingle, don't we? Your email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. Yes, well done to Mark, who's emailed in. Hi, guys. On the topic of teams with players with similar names, surely England and Italian 90 were the benchmark. We had two players called Gary Stevens as well as a Trevor Stephen. We had a Hoddle and a Waddle and a captain and manager who were both called Robson.
Two players called Gary Stevens?
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Apparently so.
Not in the squad.
It's again.
Yeah. My goodness.
That's how football teams work, generally. Yeah.
I think one born a year before the other, I think.
Wow.
Hello to Robert, Rob Cusack. First time emailer from Portsmouth. I was looking through Pompey's unsuccessful trialist during our slide through the leagues, and when we were in League One in 2012, I stumbled across this guy, Alassane Ndiaye. His trialist. Had a fairly normal career in English lower leagues and non-league until Hastings United. He then moved to Lokomotiv Plovdiv, of all places. Since then, he's played in Bulgaria, Kazakhstan, Ukraine and Lithuania. Have you ever seen a crazier career move? He's only 29. He played Crystal Palace, Swindon, Southend, Barnet, Hayes, Hastings, and then, in 2013, Lokomotiv Plovdiv, Beroştar Zaragoza, Ertis Pavlodar, Tobol, ASM Belfort, and the rest are literally unpronounceable.
Well, half of those were unpronounceable by the sound of it.
One of my favourite football teams is Venfret Kofu, who play in J League 2, and Peter Utaka plays for them.
John's brother.
John Utaka's brother. And he's had like 10 different Japanese clubs. And he always put in a performance, always scored. I don't know why he doesn't put down roots.
No. Put down some roots if you're listening.
Some roots, mate.
Pete Utaka.
Got a lovely big head. Chris Dowsett, hi chaps, long time listener, first time emailer. I like to hear that. For a few weeks you've been looking for a footballer called Gordon Bennett, and I can get you closer. Peterborough United centre back Reece Bennett's middle name is Gordon. Reece Gordon Bennett, and that is heard a lot alongside much stronger language whenever he makes an appearance. Thank you very much, Chris Dowsett. If you want to get in touch with the show, it's shortfootballrambledaily.com. Actually, do you want to squeeze in a bit of Kevin Keegan?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, absolutely.
Andrew for Formby. Hello. Hi, chaps. I came across a story via a friend, and I had to share it with you. A friend of a friend and his girlfriend, a lot of friends there, were on a flight home from Bali. As they were getting off the plane, they noticed a gentleman with an awesome haircut, and the girlfriend said this. The girlfriend said, he's got an awesome haircut. Who should turn around? Not the guy with the awesome hair, but Kevin Keegan, who clearly thought they were talking about him. Kevin approaches them and says, I suppose you'd like an autograph as well now. Neither of them are football fans, so they had no idea who he was. Luckily, my friend's dad arrived on the scene to bail him out of a rather awkward situation. Have you ever got an autograph from a footballer or a former footballer that you didn't want? Let us know.
Blimey.
Wow. That's oddly hubristic. Yeah. From Keggy, isn't
yeah. I remember a friend of the Ramble, Rupert Fryer, telling a story once, which I think we mentioned. I mean, this is probably about 8 or 9 years ago on the show, and he said he's got a mate who is a bit Keegan-like. He's quite unlucky,
right?
And he's often like the butt of the jokes, or people assume the worst of him type of guy, where he's meant to be a lovely, innocent fella. And I think they were at Wembley once for a friendly England versus Portugal, and Eusebio was there, and Eusebio was signing loads of autographs, and they all went down to get one. He signed everyone, and then his mate, this guy, handed over his programme, said, "Oh, can I have an autograph?" And Eusebio just went, "No!" and walked off.
That's harsh.
That is disappointing.
So yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, I don't think there were two Gary Stevens in the England 1990 squad.
There would be in your bonnet, Mark.
I just thought
there,
it was
there were definitely two Gary Stevens
there were,
playing
but I don't,
for England at that time.
But only one of them got in the squad.
All right, there you go.
Okay, good.
There yeah. we are.
Just well, so it's good to be. It's important to be correct.
It's important to be correct.
If you're going
to
email in,
don't
email
in
lies.
I just don't need it from Marcus.
Well, no, I
he's better than that.
No,
he's
just,
not a petty man.
I just remember
he is a petty man.
I just remembered the squad and I thought, well, I don't want to do the Gary Stevens who was in the squad a disservice. Mm. You know, thinking that
which
there was,
Gary Stevens is it?
The one who played for Rangers.
Gary Stevens.
Oh right.
Either way, he's having his contribution reduced by 50%.
Exactly.
Let's get on to the long staffs.
Not yet.
At least on the best Gary Stevens in the squad.
Aston Villa gubbed Norwich City 5-1. Norwich didn't cover any of the topics.
No,
it
they didn't.
My goodness, terrible result.
Well, the keeper covered quite a lot of topics. Well, he did quite well.
If one of the topics was picking the ball out of the net, then he was.
Didn't he save a penalty?
He did.
I mean, it still seems a bit.
Give him some credit for that.
Yeah. He saved the penalty and then made a really good save from the rebound as well. But
he stopped Wesley getting a hat trick.
Yeah, he did. Mm. Yeah. But I think, like, you know, Norwich have got a lot of players missing. And it really unravelled here, didn't it? Really?
Mm. He spoke of players missing and players playing with painkillers, which is not ideal. But my goodness, that is a demoralising result. I mean, but this has been the case for a while, of course. We've kept saying, haven't we, after that Man City result and so on and so forth. But it was poor. And this wasn't a case of, you know, they've been beaten, say, 2 or 3. This was, they were all over.
It was
the
a gubbing.
It really was. And Villa were excellent. I mean, Dean Smith had been saying for a little while that Villa had been playing well. He said that, you know, we've outplayed this, that, and the other. I think it was he said only against Spurs did we not play better than
the opposition.
He
said that going into the game, yeah.
Yeah, and well, on the basis of that result, you can see where he's coming from because they unleashed their potential here. Wesley with a couple of goals. We spoke about his importance and what he can do. And that's give him the world of confidence, even though he missed that penalty. But Grealish was fantastic as well.
He needs to do that more, doesn't he? This is his first kind of...
Wesley.
Second, no, Grealish. Yeah. He needs to do that a bit more.
Well, if Grealish is given a bit of time and space, which he was against Norwich in abundance, he can hurt teams. We've seen him do that for a couple of years now. And in the Premier League... Obviously, in theory, you should be given less space and less time and all the rest of it. But Grealish, you know, it was a wonderful performance and he took his goal extremely well. I mean, and Douglas Luiz, he can hit them.
That was a beauty.
He can hit them.
That was a proper cherry on top, that, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I mean, what was that? The second one he's hit like that this season, I think, opening day against Bournemouth. So Villa will be pumped.
It was pumped an odd game as far as that. If you just looked at the statistics of this game, I mean, Norwich had 21 shots to Aston Villa's 22 and they had quite a lot more possession than Aston Villa. Yet they were very close to losing 5-0 at home.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting thing, but the explanation for that, I think, it's just a massive lack of intensity from Norwich. Yeah. And it might be because they've
how many of those shots were on target?
Well, I don't know. I'll probably check.
Well, Wesley's second goal was a great example of what you're saying there, Luke, because it was, I mean, he even looked like he couldn't believe how simple it was. It was just a straightforward, you know, out to the byline.
I mean, Norwich, I just think that they barely bothered Aston Villa that game. It was all Villa.
It was, and I was just going to say, you talk about players being missing or players perhaps carrying injuries. I don't know which players are carrying injuries in that team, but they had, you know, quite a lot of the players that you've become recognisable in the Premier League season so far. I mean, Cantwell played, Buendia played, Pukki played, Godfrey played. Yeah, so they have players in there who are playing games. Yeah. I don't know if there's an excuse to lose 5-1 at home to a fellow promoted team, really.
It was an absolutely abject performance, and I think that they've clearly on a little lull at the moment. Talking about Spurs there and so on. I mean, Norwich, they have to pick themselves up and pretty quickly, because as you say, that is a damning result at home against a fellow promoted side. Whereas for Villa, the way they just strode about the pitch, they looked like they were the team who thought, yeah, we belong here, we're going to take this. And Villa didn't even seem that surprised. No. It was as if, yeah, well, we're an established team in this league and of course we've put this team to the sword. What's the big deal kind of thing? And that bodes very well for Villa. It does not for Norwich. Both newly promoted, as we say. So, wonderful win for Dean Smith.
And I think Villa need a win like that. They need a win to remind themselves that they belong in the Premier League, or at least make them feel like they belong in the Premier League. And, this is their level and that they need to sort of sustain that. And I think a couple of goals of Wesley is a very, very good thing to get them going. And for Grealish to get off the mark as well, it's a really, really good day for them.
What do you think of Mings at the back?
Yeah, too? It's a shame that, wasn't it? He made a big mistake at the end that let Norwich in for there.
I don't think it was that big a mistake. I think Keeper should be off his line a bit quicker.
But it, you know, it directly led to a goal, didn't
but
it?
But he's had a good season.
He has. As I said recently, he was very, very impressive against Arsenal. Seeing him, just the way he marshals that defence and the way that he's always talking and always giving out instruction is really good. And I think he's going to be absolutely key if they're going to stay up.
Yeah,
they concede too many goals, Norwich. Way too many. Yeah. They need to sort that out.
Mm. Let's talk about Newcastle United 1.
Yeah.
Yes.
Manchester United 0. Matty Longstaff got the winner on his Premier League debut. Pete Donaldson, can we all be
Longstaffs like the Ramones?
Do you want
Mookie Longstaff?
Or the Stevens?
I would like to say well done. Well done to Steve Bruce for putting him in there.
Mm.
Well, yeah.
he's been an adorable little fella.
Well, yeah, Steve Bruce. Adorable little chap. It was the post-match of the day / Sky Sports, where his brother gives him the Man of the Match award. Yeah. It is. It was. Oh man!
Would you say put your faith back in football?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because I mean,
I don't see that
putting when Andy Carroll came on a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was a bit of a PR. Yep. I'm not going to say masterstroke, but it certainly tidied up what was a really turgid match. I think it was against Brighton.
That was the 0-0 I was talking about earlier. It was absolutely shit.
Absolutely abject. Yeah. And which made you not want to watch the Man United Newcastle match. I seem to recall. But yeah, he brought him on, and it kind of. It was a bit of a lightning rod, galvanised, you know, the supporters a little bit, and this was a really good nice little story, yeah. You know, seeing him and Andy Carroll run at the corner as, you know, people from the North East and mm-hmm. playing for the club they clearly love and clearly adore. Oh, and the way he hit that ball.
It was
a fantastic goal, to be fair.
He hit the bar in the first half as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
I thought it was we caught a bit of it before we went on in Brighton last night, but when I watched it back, I thought it was actually pretty good from Steve. I can't believe I'm saying this, but actually, Man United are a team without a plan. They don't know what they're fucking doing.
No.
Like, they have no idea what they're doing. And what it seemed to me at Newcastle did is they put 5 and 4 and they let Man United have the ball, and they thought, what we'll do, the pressure will build on Man United, they need a win, their away record is terrible, if we get a chance and we take it, we'll win. And that's exactly what happened.
It was very Rafa for me, though, to be honest.
It was very
counter.
Yeah.
I think the returning DeAndre Yedlin, it was obviously a very lightning quick player. That helped the other fullback, Willems, was also really good as well, and obviously he helped set up the goal. I thought it was a really... At times, really
good. I said this to you on the previous show last week. I said Newcastle, when you target games, should be targeting this one. I said not even for a point. They should go for this. They should win this.
I mean, Man United are a very underwhelming side at the moment, so I don't think anyone's under any illusion.
How are they so bad?
But when we were saying this last week, it was slightly scoffed, and I'm saying no, it didn't surprise me at all. When they won 1-0 against Man United, Man United did not bother Newcastle's goal.
No, but you've got to remember, Newcastle are a very underwhelming side.
I appreciate that, but. I think that, yes, they are. But when Man United come to town, I mean, I know we just sort of have a bit of a laugh at Bruce, but he's still a football manager. Do you know what I mean? He's still a Premier League manager of sorts. And
he's literally the worst football manager when it comes to results. I'm not having a go, Marcus. I'm just saying that, like...
I understand.
They should be targeting Brighton, for example. They should be targeting games that they can clearly win.
Absolutely.
Yes, Man United definitely fall into this category.
Well,
definitely.
I was proved right.
And
now we come to the end of the reason why he made the point.
The point was, I thought that they were brilliant. And we spoke about Brighton seeing Spurs down. On their hind legs or whatever the expression is, and they went for it, and Newcastle did the same. They deserve enormous credit for that.
I enjoyed this tweet from Christian, who said Solskjaer's old club Molder could go 7 points clear at the top of the Norwegian league tonight with 6 matches to go. If they win it, it'll be their first title since checks notes the year Solskjaer left them to manage Cardiff. So that's quite a revealing set of statistics, I think. And you know, Man United, 8 games and 2 points off the relegation zone, and they look absolutely listless.
They look depressed almost, don't they? It's really unusual. To be fair, Harry Maguire should have probably have scored as well. That was a chance probably should have put away. But it's just abject, isn't it? As you say, there's no plan, and they just seem so light up top in particular. I mean, the point's been made fairly often that Rashford doesn't strike you as your main striker. Do you know what I mean? He's probably best
support
as the second one. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, making those
massively
runs.
It was massively glossed over for months how, don't worry about it, Rashford's going to lead the line for Man United.
Yeah.
And because he started his career well, because he took his chance when he was put in there, and because he's played a few times for England, he's 21. at one of the biggest clubs in the world, and he's asked to lead the line. They were glossing over the fact that Solskjaer just didn't want Lukaku there anymore. Yeah, there are different reasons for that, I know. And he's moved now and he's gone, and they've got to forget about that.
I'm sure Lukaku doesn't regret moving.
No, I'm sure he doesn't. But you can't automatically assume you're going to be able to rely on Marcus Rashford to lead the line for Man United with players like Andres Pereira and Daniel James. But now, I know Daniel James had a good start to the season, but I mean, this is not a player you can hang your hat on at Man United either.
No.
You could easily see him going 10, 15 games where he does nothing because he's young, because he's coming to the club newly. And the other thing that should strike fear into the heart of every Man United fan, 2 weeks off now, when they come back, they play Liverpool.
Yeah.
And Liverpool will tear them to pieces if they don't get it right.
The most damning stat was that this was Steve Bruce's first win over Manchester United as a manager in 23 attempts.
Wow. Yeah. Mm.
They're not even getting a Brucey bonus.
Well, it's not about him having particularly a better squad. He does have a better squad than he's had for a long time, but Manchester United are just bloody abject. They've spent so much money assembling. I couldn't pull out an 11, like 11 person from Man United who you would sort of pick every single week, because they're just so bitty with their form. Yeah.
So what happens next with Man United? Because obviously, I think we can work on the assumption that Solskjaer isn't going to replicate Alex Ferguson's legacy and be there for a long time. Well, I wonder if they'll go hard to try and get someone like Max Allegri, because obviously when they brought Jose Mourinho in, the idea there was that they're not messing around anymore. Mm-hmm. They're going to get a winner in. They're going to try and get this club back on track. And obviously that didn't work out for the third season syndrome that you can always expect from him. And then I think Solskjaer was supposed to be a stopgap, wasn't he? It was very, very openly. It was like he was going to be caretaker manager for a bit. It went incredibly well for a bit and then collapsed. So I think they will go back to what they were trying to do as far back as when they appointed Mourinho. I think they have to.
If Liverpool wasn't the next match, you reckon he would have gone this week because the international break?
It depends if they've got. They'll need someone lined up. They're not going to get rid of Solskjaer and then start. You know, there's not going to have an interim or the caretaker steps up. They'll need someone.
They're in a royal state, mate.
Oh, they are. Do you think Mourinho actually, when you look back at it, did he do actually a slightly better job? Or maybe
won the Europa League.
Won the Europa League. They finished second in the league.
I've
won a League Cup as well.
My answer to Jim's question:
it's a few years ago now. To be fair.
Yeah, but he was only there, a little while, wasn't he? I mean, my answer to Jim's question instinctively was I wouldn't be surprised to see Pochettino go in there at some point. But the big barrier to that is they're such a mess that is Pochettino going to want to work without a decent sporting director? He might not want to.
Yeah, I don't.
But there's definitely a good, solid, logical argument to say if you are in such a state that you end up spending £250 million a year on players, you might as well just spend an extra 10 million and get the best manager you can get rather than someone who's clearly out of his depth. I've got no beef with Solskjaer.
Why do you think, I know he's been linked heavily, but when we said in the Spurs chat that you and Pete both said it was all the players' fault and so on, I understand that.
I said it's all the players' fault. I said Pochettino has to shoulder his fair share of the blame because some of his selections were strange.
Sure, but when I said that Pochettino, he may have had his head turned, he may have thought, actually, do you know what, my time at Spurs has maybe come to an end or whatever. You're saying he'll end up at Manchester United soon, so you obviously think there's some credence in that.
Yeah, but I think he's been linked with big clubs for over a year.
But you obviously think that this one is more serious, though, if you think he's going to end up at Manchester United.
I don't have any particular insight into either club, but I think the pieces fit, yeah. But I mean, he's been linked very seriously to bigger jobs for over a year, and he still managed to get a team who probably weren't that good to a Champions League final. To me, the lowest common denominator is the players, but I think that if Pochettino goes to United, they need a sporting director in there, and they're always going to need a sporting director in there because that's the way that football's going, and it might put him off taking the job if they don't have someone above him to do the football side, because otherwise he's just going to be swimming against the tide.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting thing because I don't think Solskjaer's very good and I think he's out of his depth, but I can't convince myself that anyone else would be good.
Absolutely.
That's the problem.
The structure's not set up there, isn't it? And as you say, if that sporting director isn't there, is that a step down for Pochettino from Spurs with the way the clubs are going in terms of momentum at the moment?
I think if you get a good manager in there, you can turn the fortunes around. I don't think they're going to be win the league or anything, but they can do a darn sight better than what they're doing. I mean, we see Rafa at Newcastle.
You know,
for example,
people email in because a plucky underdog's defeated a bigger club, bigger team.
Yeah, well, they didn't.
We just spend all of our time. We just spend all of our time talking about the bigger team and what their problems they have. I'm very much on that page now.
We did 5 minutes on Newcastle before we started talking about Man United.
Pete, coming back to that, are there any...
Best brothers since the Amiobi.
Yeah, they should manage Man United.
Are there any more Luwa's?
Are there any more long stuff
proud history
about?
Of brothers. Yeah, maybe we need a third, like Tommy Amiobi.
Newcastle legend, Tommy Amiobi. Did he ever play for him?
I think he was in the youth team, I think.
Youth team.
The Luaulas never played together.
Uh-huh. Was there anything else you wanted to say?
The De Jongs never played together.
Peter, the floor is yours.
Don't.
Is it all better at the club? It all's forgiven?
Bruce in.
Bruce in. Get Bruce in there. No, let's go down to the Championship then, if we can. One of the most unlikely results of the weekend was Swansea 1, Stoke 2.
I think that's known up north of the border as a coupon buster, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Stoke's first win of the season comes at the league leaders. And despite the win, Stoke are still bottom of the league. That's how sort of bad they've had this season. Swansea even went 1-0 up in the first minute. When you saw them go up 1-0 first minute, and obviously they're at home and so on, you think, oh, blimey, it's going to be a cricket score. I can't believe Stoke won that. What a win.
It's a baffling situation at
what
Stoke.
What a win.
Because that's a great win. I saw them against, I think it was Forest on a Friday night a couple of weeks ago. And they went a goal up and they got beaten. And Butland, didn't play very well and blah, blah, blah. Button obviously didn't feature in this game against Swansea. They went with Adam Federici instead, who looked like had a fairly solid game. But it was interesting to me that Nathan Jones has got an appalling record at Stoke. I mean, I think that's his fifth win in 30-something games. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But, and this is a really big but, they went a goal down the first minute and I thought, from what I saw, they worked their socks
they
off
did.
Still for the manager. Yeah. There was a situation where I think they could have gone 2-0 down
they had
and the players were bombing back and doing their bit, and they managed to turn it around with a last-minute goal, which looked like it meant everything to the squad. They were so into it. So it makes you wonder, based on a couple of Stoke fans, friends I've got, who don't really seem to be blaming Nathan Jones. They certainly should resign because the Stoke won't fire him. But I think they're intimating.
That's so damning in itself, though.
But Stoke are they're known to be very loyal to that particular kind of administration. But it seems to me there's something else going on there. And it's not really something that Nathan Jones has found it easy to sort out.
You're going to give us a little wicked whisper?
No, I don't know anything. I'll make this as an appeal. If you know anything, tell us. Yeah. But it's a great win for them.
What happened to our press room spy? Remember that guy?
Yeah, where are you?
What was that? Oh, Let's be having you.
Let's be having you.
But yet again, guys, the Championship delivers. I mean, what are we? 11 games in the Championship, and there's 4 points separating the top 10 teams.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
It's what you want.
About three times over the last couple of weeks, I've chatted to friends who support Championship teams, and I've said to them, oh, top of the league, and they've gone, no, not anymore.
No, that's right.
We were Friday, we're not Saturday.
We were last night.
Yeah, exactly.
An hour ago, we were.
Yeah. Forest up there for a second.
Yeah.
Get down from there.
Yeah, Leeds are down in fifth now because they lost. So it's all to play for.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh,
one thing I was just floating my boat as well this last weekend.
Oh, yeah, go on, old son.
Is Carlos Vela.
Carlos Vela.
What's he up to?
Well, he's...
Dinky Dinky.
You know the sort of weirdly manufactured odd battle between him and Zlatan about who can score the most goals.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic created.
Yeah, well, Vela's beaten him.
Yeah!
Vela scored, I think, 34 goals to Zlatan's 30 or 31.
Yeah.
He beats Zlatan to the Golden Boot.
Golden Boot.
And
what a season.
Quite good. He's only 30.
Did LAFC, is that what they're called, Los Angeles Football Club, I think they finished top, did they? Oh, they were certainly top for a little while. They finished much higher than LA Galaxy.
I think we're about to go into the postseason now, so
yeah.
See how we get on. But Vela did the business.
Great season. Maybe Arsenal should re-sign him, Jim.
You see Luis Figo in Guildford?
Did
probably
see that.
Presumably waiting for the Football Ramble live show a few days.
He's got there very early.
He's got there very early.
Imagine going on stage
he's
with G Live in Guildford and seeing Luis Figo in the front row.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Imagine you dancing. In front of Luis Figo.
Dancing in front of Luis Figo. I'd be imagine him naked.
What would you do if he threw a pig's head at you? Would you be like, hang on.
Good point.
That's the treatment you get, mate.
If Luis Figo turns up to our live show, I'll give him a pig's head to throw at you.
Obviously, that time when he played for Real Madrid away at Barcelona, pig's head, lots and lots of coins, which is obviously horrible.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was like a mobile phone.
Wasn't there a scooter?
No, that's the Milan.
It was a moped, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's totally different situation. I think there might have been a mobile phone. How much do you hate someone?
I'll chuck anything.
Take the SIM card out.
Those old school Motorola's. You'd be fine. Yeah.
Do a bit of damage.
Damage,
Do we have any, obviously, Figo is in Guildford to see Ramble Live, as we know. But yeah, yeah. Could there perhaps be any other reason he was also
doubling
up?
Well, literally, no, Jim. Jesus, what's wrong with you? Try to sell tickets, mate. See Lewis Figot, Ramble Live, Guildford, guaranteed.
His tweet was amazing because he just posted a picture of himself on the high street in sunglasses. And
it's Guildford time, isn't it?
Guildford time.
Yeah, that's not a thing, Lewis.
And there's a person in the distance behind, well, I say in the distance, not that far behind him, who looks a bit like an astronaut, but as Pete pointed out, it's probably a beekeeper.
I mean, why the beekeeper is what, strolling on the high street? It's called beekeeping gear. Anyway. I mean,
no, it was an astronaut because someone zoomed in on the photo. It is actually an astronaut.
Oh, there you go.
What the hell?
Why is it an astronaut?
I still think that looks more like a beekeeper.
Yeah, it's like a beekeeper.
Is there a film going on and he's like getting a little extra part? He's doing a Carlo Ancelotti.
Is this some viral marketing for the beekeeping movie?
It's a weird situation.
The bee movie.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing him there.
Yeah. Lovely.
There we are. He'll be waiting on the wing. Win the wings. Oh, I don't know.
Buzzing around.
That's time for me to say goodbye, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Jules and Andy, of course, will be with you tomorrow. Jules will be bouncing after that Brighton win, no doubt. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you, Petey Dean.
Come and see us live, ramblelive.com. Lewis Figo, Guildford, live.
Thanks, Jimmy C.
Cheers.
See you then.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.